Well, it was a great start. I left my sermon back in the back room. And Father David just went and got it for me. So. Wonderful. I want to read to you the Old Testament reading that we just heard a few minutes ago. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when the scriptures are read in the service, I hear them, but I don't hear them. You follow what I'm saying? You know, you hear them, but do they sink in? And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I think it was Tuesday night, Father David called me, and he was scheduled to preach today, but he knew that, you know, he was going to have this procedure. And he said, "Have you read your email?" And I said, "No, Drew and I were in Tallahassee last night. We didn't get back till early this morning. I haven't even gotten to a computer." He said, "Well, you know, I'm going to have this procedure and so forth." And he said, "Would you be backup for the sermon on Sunday?" I said, "Sure, I'll get something ready." So when I started to read through the scriptures for today, the first I read was the Old Testament, and I went, "Wow, this is just like what Earl prayed for us, what Earl wrote down for us when we purchased the land." And I can't believe it. It's literally the same thing. And I want to read the Old Testament to you again. I want you to listen to it with a different ear. Listen to what's being said here, please. "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, 'Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts.'" I believe that's us. "But will God indeed dwell on the earth?" That's a question. Will he dwell on the earth? And then he says something very interesting. He says, "Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you." Think about that. Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Isn't that so? Nothing can contain God. Nothing. "How much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened towards this temple day and night, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes towards this place." Think about that. He said, made the statement, "God, this temple can't contain you, but yet you said your name will be there, and I'm holding you to it. And may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray this towards this place. Hear in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive." Now there's some verses that are left out at that point from our reading, but basically then he lists some things that they need to be forgiven for. And then he comes back and he says, "Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake," and then in parentheses, "for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays towards this temple, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name." The word of the Lord. I already said this, but when I read these verses, my mind went straight to our land on St. John's Bluff Road and the prayer that the Lord gave Earl Shimp literally at the time that we closed on that purchase. And if I recall correctly, Earl told us that he sat down at his computer And the words of the prayer just came out of his fingers without his really thinking about what he was putting down. I know that when I read this prayer, and when I read Earl's prayer, I knew that these were inspired words which reflected God's heart for our property and our congregation's heart as well. And in your bulletin, I inserted in your bulletin this morning, I went and made copies this morning of Earl's prayer. I want you to take that prayer out, please. Yours is on white paper. It's in your bulletin. I want you to take that out, please. And I want us, all of us, to read this together, to pray it together at this time. May the Lord bless our property. May it never be used for any purpose other than to magnify His name and spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the community and the world. May all those who set foot on our property or even pass by it be blessed beyond measure with the love and knowledge of Jesus Christ. May all of us be further strengthened to serve Him in all we do and empowered by the Holy Spirit to resist evil and share the goodness of the Lord. I pray we will all be Christ's vessels of sight to the blind, wealth to the poor, words to the deaf, healers to the sick, light to the lost, I pray that the Lord's plan for this property, as He has known it from the beginning, be totally fulfilled by the decisions, worship, praise, works, deeds, actions, words, prayers, and efforts put forth by the believers of the Church of the Messiah from this day forth and forevermore. May His will be done on this piece of earth, as it is in heaven. God, use this land and these people for Your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I know that Solomon's prayer, which is called a prayer of dedication, is in the temple which God said He would build instead of his father David. And the prayer that the Holy Spirit gave Earl, which you could also very well consider a prayer of dedication, is over land where there is no building yet. But I see the same spirit and intention in both prayers. There is the acknowledgement that God is God, and there is none like Him. Solomon says that heaven and the heaven of heavens can't contain God, and in essence asks, if that is so, will God dwell on earth, much less the temple He's built? But then Solomon reminds him, and he says, that God said, my name shall be there, and prays to God that He would hear his prayer, which if you really read it carefully, is really a pleading with God that He would just keep his eyes toward the temple day and night. And he's saying, if you would just keep your eyes on that temple, everything will be okay. In the prayer over our land, there is also the pleading for God to bless the land and that the land will be used only to magnify Jesus and spread the good news of Jesus to the community and to the world. There is a belief in the prayer that God has intentions and He has plans for His property that He has entrusted to us and that He has known of those plans from the beginning. Those are the words in the prayer. And I believe those words that came to Earl came from the Holy Spirit as he wrote them down. Notice also that both prayers go beyond just blessing the people who were worshiped there. And this is so neat. Solomon asked God to do for foreigners, and that's people who are not of God's Israel. He's reaching beyond the Jewish people. And he says, when they ask that all the peoples of the earth would know his name and know that the temple is called by God's name. In other words, that they would just go by there, see it, and know that's God's place. the prayer over our property and for the future church that will be there is that all who set foot on the property or even pass by it. In other words, in, you know, Solomon prayed if they would just look at it. We're saying, yeah, same thing. If they would just look at it, they would just pass by it, they would be blessed beyond measure, and that we would be Christ's vessels for all who could be in any kind of need. And in that prayer, there is explicit expressions of those needs. These prayers, separated by thousands of years in time, come from the heart of the same God whose every intention is to set aside places where He dwells and His glory is seen and where He is manifested in His people. That manifestation comes in many, many different ways. I can't name them all. It comes in worship. It comes in prayer. It comes in forgiveness, mercy, willingness to minister to others, willingness to step out of our comfort zone, willingness to look at new things and in any way that God calls us to do. And that is people. That is possible. We're a people determined to line themselves up with God's word and God's will. We can have every intention to do a work in a specific place and at a specific time, but that's God's intention. But He must find a people who will cooperate with Him intentionally and with His purpose first and foremost, which I pray that we are willing to do. And when that happens, God will be glorified, His purpose will be carried out, and the people involved will not only see God's will and way before their very eyes, but they will have a satisfaction unlike anything humanly possible because it was heavenly sent. And you know what? I want to be a part of that, and I hope you do too. Now I'm going to get down to some nuts and bolts. I want to share some things with you. Since we've purchased God's property, you have heard some of what has been done and worked on by your Rector's Council. You've seen an architect's rendering of what the building could look like. We've looked at just about every different type of building that you can look at, different sizes, shapes, and so forth. We've estimated costs related to land preparation and infrastructure costs. Lots of that type of work has been done, which really has helped a great deal. And we had to do that. But there was still more that we knew needed to be done before we could proceed with a building campaign. We determined intentionally to gather every Sunday morning at 9:30 at this altar to pray for a half an hour, seeking His wisdom and His blessing, not only on our services, but the plans we are trying to make. We'd love for any one of you who would like to be with us at 9:30. It's just not a Rector's Council thing. Then, with some guidance, and we have asked outside people, we've had two outside people come in and speak to us who have done this sort of thing before, we realize that there is more to this than just a building. Because a church family is more than a building. A church is not a building, as a matter of fact. It's the people. You are the church. So we realized that we had to have a plan for how Church of the Messiah is to be viable and to grow. We could build a building, but we are going to have to fill that building up with not only ourselves, but new people, because that is God's intention. It could very well be that if we had a new building which we call our own, that we as a body would be more willing to invite people to worship with us. But do we have to wait for that to invite people? You know that we are looking, and it was announced at the business meeting, you know we're looking to possibly rent an interim location for Caroline Presbyterian Church so that we could have one location 24/7 so that we could do things during the week at our own place. We would have our office and everything there. We would save considerable amount of money each month by doing that. And we'd also have the ability to put out a sign saying Church of the Messiah. But would this also give us the incentive to invite people to worship with us? We who are here have a good experience. We need to be willing to share it and to carry out the Great Commission by bringing people into the kingdom. Now, your Rector's Council has begun to ask some hard questions of ourselves. And I'm happy to say that we've begun to make progress in getting some of those answers. I'm not going to give you everything right now, but among these questions are these type things. How are we going to move forward? Do we have a future life? In that category, we know we have to have a visitation program, which we haven't had, for people who visit our church and specific others that we determine we need to visit. At the last Rector's Council where we met, I brought a book to the attention of the Rector's Council. I'm not pointing at me, but there's a pastor that I know down in St. Augustine who for 30 years was a man who was charged with the Methodist Church and moved around to grow congregations. And I've become friends with him. I've ministered with him. And I asked him to send me his plan. He said, I have a plan. He said, I've got it all written down. I said, well, would you send it to me? And he didn't send it to me for over a year. And I emailed him again and I said, remember you said? And I never got anything. The reason I didn't get anything is because he wrote a book about it. And as soon as he wrote the book, he sent me a copy of it. And I gave that to Father David. There's some really good ideas in the book. Another question. How do we grow with our young adults? How do we grow in youth attendance? We know that the future is with the younger people, of which we have a quite high percentage. But we still need to build an overall attendance in each of those groups. How do we transition? Here's a tough one. How do we transition in bringing up replacements for ministers and ministries? We need younger leaders and programs to train those leaders. Now here's a question for you. What are the reasons that you come to Church of the Messiah? And will those same reasons work for those we want to attract to our church? Is our style of worship attractive? And are we doing a good enough job teaching about what our style of worship is and why it is the way it is? That's a lot of questions. But none of this is meant in any way, please understand, any way to be judgmental, negative, or to cast any kind of doubt. These are areas that we need to constantly be working on, but because we are approaching a building program and a very real possibility of building our own building on God's property, these questions take on a new and important meaning. We have a good and a very viable church family, and I emphasize family because I believe that is one of our real strong points. But the question then has to come up, are we ready to welcome new members into our family? We need to be willing to say yes, because to do otherwise would be really counter to God's desire to see all people saved and to join his family and to grow in his kingdom. Now I ask something of you. We humbly, the Rector's Council, covet your prayers over the next few months as we look at the real possibility of an interim location, which won't be for a little while due to not our circumstances but other circumstances, where we could really have that advantage overall. And as we work through with God's very real and needed help the questions I've outlined and any others that God brings to our attention, there is a lot of work to be done. It really goes without saying that if God speaks to you about anything we've discussed here or anything pertaining to the matters of the Church of the Messiah, that you bring it to one of the Rector's Council members. This is the body of Christ of which we were all members. And I will tell you that words of prophecy have been given from more than one of the prophetic voices in this congregation, that we are to move forward. Trust in the Lord and have faith as we pursue God's purpose for His body, and I emphasize His body of believers called the Church of the Messiah. I don't think it's any chance coincidence that the gospel this week deals with the faith of a centurion who believed that Jesus only had to say the word and his servant would be healed. Do the words, "Lord, I am not worthy, just say the word and I will be healed"? Do those sound familiar? You see, Jesus marveled at the centurion's faith. Only twice in all scripture was Jesus said to marvel or to be amazed. The other time was when he began his public ministry in his hometown of Nazareth, and he was rejected by his fellow Jews. Mark 6:6 puts it this way, "And he marveled because of their unbelief." I pray that we will have the amazing faith that this centurion had as we proceed in God's plan for His church. I'm going to ask all of us, and I've been remiss in this, straightforward with you, that we all, as part of our daily devotion, pray this prayer, please. I haven't. But boy, did it hit me right between the eyes when I was making the preparations for this, since this is something we need to do. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.